Many believers would agree that churches should follow the same financial principles that God's Word provides for individuals. Hi, I'm Rob West. But even within that agreement, there's still plenty of room for debate. For example, should churches borrow for building and expansion projects? We'll explore that issue today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. It's a difficult topic. Should churches borrow? The Bible never says that borrowing is a sin, but it does warn against it, such as in Proverbs 22:7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. The late Larry Burkett recognized that teaching on the subject of church borrowing is difficult because it's really about an attitude rather than an absolute, but that anything taken to excess is destructive, especially debt. Financial teacher and author Ron Blue has laid out several principles for borrowing. It should cost less than the benefit derived from it, have a guaranteed way of repayment. Responsible parties must be in unity about the borrowing. It must give spiritual peace of mind, and it must achieve God-given goals. Art Rayner, financial author and director of the Institute for Christian Financial Health, welcomes the debate over church borrowing as believers with different viewpoints seek the best ways for their church to advance the gospel. Art offers Psalm 112:5 to those who might believe that borrowing is sinful. It reads, "Good will come to the one who lends generously and conducts his business fairly." Art says, quoting now, that God would not reward someone, the lender, who is knowingly participating in the sin of another, the debtor. So while debt is not a sin, it certainly is a burden. Art offers three biblical principles to guide churches grappling with the issue of borrowing for church construction, expansion, or other projects. First, use caution when considering taking on debt. Proverbs 22:26 and 27 reads, "Do not be one of those who enters agreements, who puts up security for loans. If you have nothing with which to pay, even your bed will be taken from under you." A church should never find itself in a position where it can't repay a debt. Think of the bad witness that would make. Second, always remember that the congregation will be burdened by the debt taken on by the church. Again, Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave of the lender." That means the monthly debt payments will reduce the amount that the church has for international missions, its benevolence fund, and other outreach efforts. Finally, and perhaps the most dangerous part, is that debt provides the opportunity for sin. Psalm 37:21 says, "The wicked person borrows and does not repay, but the righteous one is gracious and giving." Another way to say that might be to ensure the debt is collateralized, and the church always has a way to repay the loan. Now, despite all of these warnings, plenty of churches do borrow with great results because it can definitely expand ministry. If your church agrees to borrow for a building project or other ministry advancement, it's important that you choose the right financial institution to partner with. That partner should share your Christian values and world vision. We think you'll find that with Christian Community Credit Union, an underwriter of this program. CCCU defines itself as unabashedly Christian and an organization that understands ministry. If you think a credit union is too small to handle your church project, consider that CCCU has funded over $1 billion in ministry real estate loans and has 5,600 shared branches nationwide. They also lend for church ministry equipment and vehicles. For over 67 years, CCCU has provided individuals, churches, and ministries with the financial tools and guidance to thrive and help them transform the world through their generosity. By the way, you don't have to borrow to impact the world for the gospel. When you open an account at CCCU, the money you deposit helps churches, ministries, and individuals thrive. You can find out more when you visit them on the web at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. Our heart in this is that you as a church lean into this conversation, seek the Lord, study the scriptures, and come together as lay leaders and church leadership to find God's heart for your church so that you can advance toward the calling that He has placed before you. All right, we're ready to take your calls and questions. That number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Call right now. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Stay with us. We'll be back with much more just around the corner.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Other than Amazing Grace, the following lyrics might be the most widely known in the world. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We know it as a children's song, but the truth in it is one adults need just as much. Matthew 15:30 shows us what this love looks like in action. Great crowds came to Jesus, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. Onlookers didn't always welcome the healings. One reason was because Jesus was showing love to people they despised. So what about you? Do you know the love of Jesus in your life? Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Wall Builders is dedicated to revealing the truth behind America's founding. Here's Tim Barton, president of Wall Builders.
Our goal here at Wall Builders is to present America's forgotten history and heroes, emphasizing the religious, moral, and constitutional heritage and foundation of our nation. Today, so few people recognize what has made this nation really the most successful, prosperous nation in the history of the world. It's a biblical foundation.
Listen to Wall Builders Live, Sunday mornings at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners, LTD, and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services, LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions here in just a moment. That number to call today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today with whatever's on your mind. Yesterday, we heard from several of you offering testimonies of God's faithfulness in your financial lives. We'd love to continue those, but obviously, you have many specific questions as you live, give, owe, and grow God's money. And so, whether it's your budget or paying down debt, maybe it's setting a financial finish line, giving generously, or perhaps how you can think about investing in light of this red-hot stock market that continues today with the Dow Jones, the S&P 500, all hitting new all-time highs, rallying after that larger-than-expected Fed rate cut yesterday of 50 basis points or one-half of 1%, with more to come. Fed projecting another half a point before the end of the year. All that's moving the markets. How do you navigate that in your investment accounts? Well, we'd love to tackle those questions with you today. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. All right, let's begin to dive into those questions. We'll begin in Nebraska today with Ruth. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Good morning. So I just had a question. I borrowed money from my 401k retirement plan to purchase a primary residence. And for some reason, my plan could not provide me with the money and instead asked me to take out a loan, which I did. And then things really got really bad with my purchase of my new home. And I'm no longer in the financial situation to be able to afford the payments. So I reached out to my plan administrator and they converted my loan from a loan to a hardship distribution, which I now am responsible for paying the 35% tax penalty. And so I guess I'm just wondering how I could avoid the tax penalty, if there is a way to do that, due to the fact that it was for the primary residence and that I was affected by weather-related damages to my home after the fact.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm so sorry to hear that. I know that is probably placing a significant burden on you as you deal with this. You know, the challenge is, you know, if you qualify for the hardship distribution, you may be able to miss that early withdrawal penalty. So that could be waived. You would have to talk to your CPA about that, but you still are going to have to pay the tax on it. So it's going to be still considered ordinary income. So you'd have a federal income tax on the amount withdrawn. And then beyond that, you're going to have state income taxes depending upon where you live. And it's going to, of course, be driven by your tax bracket. So they're taking out, I suspect, what is considered to be an estimated amount of federal tax plus the 10% penalty, which is the 25%, which is pretty common, plus the 10% penalty, bringing it up to 30%, 35% total. Ultimately, that's just an estimate. So what you owe to the IRS is going to ultimately determine whether or not you paid enough or you paid too much, and therefore some is coming back to you. It just depends on the plan administrator in terms of, you know, what amount is withheld. You know, so they do have the mandatory withholding, and the 10% penalty is typically not withheld up front. But again, it all comes down to who your plan administrator is and how they handle it. What I would probably do is connect with your CPA just to begin working on what your actual tax liability will be based on this not being any longer a loan, but now being considered a distribution. And that will allow you to plan for what ultimately is going to be reflected on your return, which is really when you need to settle up finally with the IRS.
Okay. I need to find a CPA then. I don't typically, I haven't had the opportunity to navigate any of this. This is the first time I do any of this. I'm completely lost.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let's do this, Ruth. One of the things you could do would be to reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor there in Nebraska. This would be a financial professional who's met all of our standards to achieve the CKA designation. So they would share your values, statement of faith, code of ethics, pastor and client reference. They've been trained to bring a biblical worldview of financial decision making, and then ask for a referral to a godly CPA in your area. So that could at least get you pointed in the right direction. The way you'd find a CKA to reach out to would be just to go to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And then click on Find a Professional. Again, any one of those folks would be able to point you in the right direction.
Thank you. And then I asked one more question. If because the situation with my house has gotten so kind of out of control, honestly, I'm wondering if I were to sell my home, at what point do I have to pay capital gains on it? Is it only if I make above what I purchased for, or is it if I sell before the 2 years?
Yeah. Are you filing single or married, filing jointly?
I'm married jointly.
Okay. So if you've lived in the home for 2 out of the prior 5 years from the date of sale, so the date you sell it, go back 5 years. If you lived in it for 2 out of those 5 years as your primary residence, you will be able to exclude up to $500,000 in gains before you pay any capital gains tax. So not just the selling price, $500,000 in gains would be set aside. So if you have less than $500,000 in gains and you've lived there 2 out of the last 5 years, you would have no capital gains tax.
What if you sell it before the 2 years?
then you would take the selling price minus the cost basis, so what you paid for it, and then you could subtract out certain fees as well as any improvements, not maintenance, but improvements that enhance the value of the home, and you'd come up with the amount of the gain, and then whatever that gain is would be subject to the long-term capital gains rates, which for 2024, you would be looking at probably most people would fall into the 15% capital gains bracket. That would be for folks, if you're married, filing jointly. If you have taxable income between $94,000 and $583,000, it would be at 15%. And the gain itself, the capital gain, is added to that combined taxable income. So when you add the gain plus all of your other income, if that falls between $94,000 and $583,000, you'd pay 15% on that gain.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much. I was looking for guidance, and I think I may have found some. Thank you. I appreciate your time. And
absolutely. Yeah, Lord bless you, Ruth, and we appreciate your call today. Call anytime. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to tackle what's on your mind today and encourage you from God's word, help you lean into that role that you have of being a wise and faithful steward, but do it with confidence. Because, you know, as we think about our financial lives, there is just an seemingly unending number of decisions that we have to make every day, and we have limited resources. I don't have to tell you that. You're reminded of that every month, where there's, you know, in some cases more month than money, and expenses are up across the board. And I understand you just want to be found faithful, honor the Lord and what he's entrusted to you. And our goal each day on this program is just to come alongside you and say, you got this, and point you back to scripture where we find wise counsel. It starts with the idea that God needs to be our ultimate treasure, not our things. We need to lift our sights and maintain an eternal perspective, not be fixated on the here and now, the temporal, the circumstances of the day. Trust God as our provider. Lean into our role as stewards and realize we have a high calling, but there's help, God's word, and this program to join with you in that. Back with you more questions after this. Stay with us.
Is God calling you to ministry? It's time to multiply your capacity for ministry with an affordable degree. The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the degree for you. When God called you to ministry, he called you to preparation. This degree is the education that you need to put all the pieces together for an amazing life of ministry. You will graduate with a confidence for ministry that is backed up by your competence in the scriptures, theology, and ministry. Come learn with a trusted seminary that will help you become a faithful leader. Learn more at wbs.edu.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at guidestonefunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got lines open for you. We're taking your calls and questions throughout the entire broadcast. So still more than half of our program remains today, which means we have room for you. If you have a question in your financial life today, something you've been wrestling with, you'd like some wise counsel, somebody to come alongside you in that, we'd love to be that partner with you. Just call right now, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Let's go to Arkansas. Eddie, we started today by talking about should churches borrow, and I understand you want to weigh in on that. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to weigh on it. From my perspective, I've been involved in different church structures, leadership styles, some that are independent churches, some that are more a conglomerate of something, you know, more of a denominational church.
Yeah.
And things were done differently in those different churches. Sometimes they borrowed because, you know, they'd already tried every other option, maybe having multiple services in the same facility, tried things like that. And it just worked out for the church that it was better to expand at that point.
Yeah.
And other times it just wasn't wise, right? It wasn't a wise decision. And I think there's not that one right answer, in my opinion. I think it's on each independent church. But I do think it needs to be done with a lot of caution. And
yeah.
Is there any other option that does not involve borrowing? We
yeah.
might want to explore that first.
I like that. I think that's well said, Eddie. That's been my experience as well. I've served on a number of finance committees and was a deacon chairman. I was a chairman of a finance committee for a major building project at a church in South Florida. It was the first building project in 10 years. It was a nearly $10 million project. And we decided as a church, led by our pastor, that we were not going to borrow a penny. And we actually approached the general contractors during the bidding process and said, listen, here's the approach we're taking, and we're going to get to a certain amount in the door, but we're going to trust the Lord for the rest. And that might mean at various points throughout this project that we have to slow down or even stop construction. And that was just what we felt convicted to do. It doesn't mean that's always the right way to do it. It's just how we did it. And amazingly, God provided, and we were able to finish the project debt-free, and it's been an incredible blessing. But here's the reality. Plenty of churches do borrow, I think, with great results because they're able to expand their ministry operations. I think the key we're saying here today is, and just as you have, that you've got to use great discernment. You've got to exercise a lot of prayer and really thought behind the borrowing because there is reduced flexibility. I mean, debt payments reduce a church's financial flexibility to respond to unexpected needs or new ministry opportunities that arise. There is more financial strain, often relying on the members to repay the debt through increased giving. And, you know, there even is a psychological impact where the presence of church debt can create tension and stress with the congregation. You know, maybe even they're less inclined to give over and above maybe their systematic giving because they realize that it's just going to fund the debt. And that's, you know, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying there is that kind of thought in the back of their minds where maybe they're less excited about contributing to new initiatives. So it's just something that needs to be thought and prayed through. It's not a right or wrong answer here. And again, it can be used very effectively, but at the end of the day, you are mortgaging the future. And anytime we're doing that, as you said, we need to make sure there are no other alternatives. But any great thoughts, any final comments?
Yeah, I would say that a church body is looking to do that, that they should structure with as pure heart as possible, just accountability of that finances, not in an accusatory manner, right, but in a transparency and integrity manner. That way we represent the kingdom well to the person that we're borrowing from, right? And the unsaved, that they see that we can handle money harmoniously, right?
Yeah. That's well said, Eddie. Boy, I'll tell you, every pastor in America is listening to you saying, I'd like Eddie on my finance committee. That's wise counsel, my friend. Thanks for calling today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got lines open. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to weigh in on our opening topic today on church borrowing, or if you have a financial question, something related to your financial life, your credit score, paying down debt, investing or saving, or perhaps you have a testimony how God has been at work in your life, call right now, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Indiana. Hi, Hank. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. I appreciate your program. My question is, I've got a mutual fund that's called a capital appreciation fund. It uses stocks and it uses dividends. I can do either way. And I was wondering if I can use the dividends to get into more cash than I am in the stock and be safe. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, absolutely. So a capital appreciation fund would be, you know, usually a balanced in its approach that it has both stocks and bonds. And you have an option to either reinvest those dividends or to have it paid out to you. And if you choose to have the dividends paid out to you instead of reinvesting, then it could build the cash portion of your portfolio, which allows you to increase that percentage in cash over time, which makes you more conservative and more liquid. So that's absolutely an option. What do you have in the way of investable assets today, you know, in terms of the total?
In that fund, I probably got about $125,000.
All right. And do you have liquid assets?
I wanted to do that 60-40 split. Oh, yeah. I'm good that way. But I just, you know, I'm not happy with the stock market, the way it's going. I mean, I know it's going up, but it also can go down. And I keep hearing you say 60-40. I'm 69 years old, so.
Yeah.
I won't. So if I did those dividends, then that would be safe, right? That'd be like being in the bank.
That's right. You'd probably want to have that put into the money market fund. And then, yeah, that is on the more safe end of that risk spectrum for sure. Nothing's guaranteed, but it's pretty close to it. So it sounds like you got a good plan there, Hank. Hey, call anytime. Thanks for your kind remarks about the program, sir. Hey, a quick break and then back with more questions after this. 800-525-7000. Stick around.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
This is Jan Markell. Next on Understanding the Times Radio, I talked to author Megan Basham about the leftist infiltration into our churches and Christian organizations. How has this happened and what might be the result of this kind of destruction? How can we be salt and light in spite of it? That's next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now? and download the FaithFi app.
Tired of campaign ads, candidate rhetoric, and a mailbox full of flyers? Are you thinking of sitting out this election? Don't do it. As Christians, it's our responsibility to be salt and light. How can we influence our nation for godly values if we don't make our voices heard? Show your support for candidates who share our biblical values by voting wisely. Use iVoterGuide.com as a free tool to help you identify those candidates. Be a good steward of your vote on November the 5th. Vote wisely with iVoterGuide.com.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. Hey, before we head back to the phones, here are just 11 days till the end of the month. We're working to stay on track with our listener funding goal for the month of September. As a listener-supported ministry, we rely on your gifts to bring you this program and all the great resources we have here at FaithFi, the studies and devotions, our new publication coming out next year, our FaithFi app, and all the content at faithfi.com. If you'd like to bless the ministry, perhaps help others hear the message of biblical financial stewardship, a gift at faithfi.com would go a long way to helping us reach our goals. Just head to faithfi.com and click give at the top of the page. You can make a one-time gift or consider becoming a FaithFi partner. Those are the monthly supporters that we send all of our studies and devotions to pre-release. You'll get a copy of our new publication starting in the new year, plus discounts on our pro subscriptions and ordering of materials. That's all at our website, faithfi.com. Just click give. All right, let's head back to the phones. Let's go out to Tennessee. Hi, Charlie. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes, I'm calling from the heart of God's country.
All right.
The great state of Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Yes. I have just heard that Kamala has proposed a realized capital gains tax. Have you heard anything about that?
I have. Now, what you're referring to is we already have a realized capital gains tax. She's talking about an unrealized capital gains tax, which is incredibly problematic because here's the difference. When it's a realized capital gain, that means there's actually been an investment, an asset that's been sold, that you sold it at a price higher than what you originally paid for it, and then you pay tax on it. An unrealized gain just simply represents an increase in value that may be temporary, because until you sell it, you haven't realized anything. And so what she's talking about is some, I guess, convoluted process where people at the end of each year, and this is for ultra high net worth people, but it speaks to just the fact that it would make the United States not a place for wealthy investors, not only here but around the world, because at the end of the year, they would have to total up all their unrealized gains, which again may be temporary, and then pay the tax on it. The problem is, that's not liquid if it's unrealized. So now all of a sudden, you may have people borrowing to pay a tax on a gain that they may never see, which just creates all kinds of issues. Unrealized gains tax, very problematic, would really be a detriment to our economy. Realized capital gains, something we already have in place, where essentially you're taxed on profits that you take on assets that are sold for higher than what you paid for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes, which is what we're already doing. Yeah, I just had it reversed.
Yes. Yeah.
The unrealized, yes, was my question. Yes. should have
but
been.
But it's a great question and hugely problematic, Charlie, as I suspect you already on to. And there's been a lot of folks on both sides of the aisle that have weighed in on this idea, saying, first of all, it would never get through Congress. But if it did, it would be really problematic for our economy and just really stifle investment in the United States and in our stock market. So I don't think it'll ever see the light of the day, but it speaks to just the philosophy of the economic policy that we're seeing coming out of the Harris campaign. We appreciate your call today, sir. Thanks for listening. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's go to Arkansas. Hi, Doug. Go ahead.
Hey, yes. I'm married and I have multiple kids, mixed family, and I have a couple of kids that just haven't been responsible in their life. One's about 44 and the other one's like 32. And I was wondering, I've been thinking about getting like a term life insurance policy on them. So if something should happen to them because of their lifestyle and their choices, I would have something that I could give to their children. And that's my question.
Interesting. Well, you know, I don't know what you were referring to in terms of the lifestyle choices. Depending on what they are, it may make them uninsurable or it may make those policies fairly costly. But regardless, the idea that you would get a life insurance policy on them that you would be the owner of, that would be on their life and then paid to their kids is an interesting idea. Are you concerned, are these minor kids that you're wanting to provide for just until they reach the age of majority, or what are you thinking here?
Well, two of them are 19 and, two of them are, you know, younger, like one's 10 and one of them's 14.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah. I mean, so you can, if you have an insurable interest, and you have their permission, so you need the person's consent, then you would be able to do that. And basically what you would say is, listen, I want to make sure that if something happens to you and none of us know the day or the hour that the Lord is going to call us home, and so therefore I'd like to take out a policy on your life payable to your kids as the beneficiary so that they're provided for. You know, obviously, ideally, this would be something these children would do on their own. But to your point, if that's not the way they're thinking or they're lacking some spiritual or financial maturity and you've identified that they've not taken that important step that we should all do for our loved ones, then you're stepping in and doing that, assuming you have the ability to do that financially. And again, you have their consent and what the insurance company calls an insurable interest, which these children certainly would as dependents, then absolutely you could do that.
Okay. What would be a good amount, because like nowadays $100,000 ain't what it used to be.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
I don't know what a good amount would be.
Well, it comes down to what type of income are we trying to provide for them. So normally for somebody who's a working breadwinner in a family, we would say you'd want to take their income and get life insurance equal to 10 to 12 times that. So if somebody's making $60,000 a year, we'd want to get somewhere between $600,000 and $750,000 worth of insurance. And the idea is that, you know, if you have that $700,000 in death benefit at 4% a year, you could pull out $28,000 a year. But you know, you'd probably pull more than that. You'd probably pull more like 8%, and that's not sustainable. But the idea is you just want to get through the working years. And so you're okay if that money runs out. But I think, you know, the starting point is to say, not just what is that lump sum I want them to receive, but what is the income that I want them to receive off of the lump sum and for how long? And then it just becomes a math equation to determine the lump sum needed to generate an income stream for a fixed period of time. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I just want to have something where their kids can have something, you know, from their, you know, from their parents. I believe in, you know, giving to my grandkids, you know, my kids and grandkids. I want to bless them when I die. So, you know, even though they haven't lived that way they should, I'm willing to step in there and kind of help.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think thinking in terms of what you'd like for this to cover. So, for instance, if you want to get it enough to cover a college education, you could solve for that amount. If you want to make it an income stream to get them in through their 20s, it could be that as well. Thanks for your call.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
When money takes a place that it was never intended to take, competing with first position in our lives, taken out of God's original context, our goal is to make sure that money stays in its proper context as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We want to help you do that as we look through the lens of Scripture at the practical decisions and choices you're making every day. And so let's talk about it.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today in Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Here in our final segment today, we'll try to get to as many calls as we can as we help you navigate God's wisdom for your financial decisions and choices. Let's go out to Illinois. Hi, Doreen. How can we help?
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. This is the second time I've called. My question today is, my son, when he came into this problem, was 28. He's now 29. And he struggled financially. He, through bad choices, did not finish college. And so he's definitely living paycheck to paycheck. And his car engine went out. And he told us, and this was when, you know, interest rates were like at 5% for savings. And I said, you know, we would be happy to lend you the money at like 4% interest just to recoup the money that we would have made on that amount. So it was going to be like $8,000 or $9,000.
Yeah.
And he was very offended that we would even suggest charging him interest and use the Bible, kind of use the, well, he didn't kind of, he used the word usury, that we were taking advantage of him in his time of need. In the past, we have given him smaller amounts just out of the goodness of our heart. We gave him a lot of money toward his wedding. And but this time I'm retired, we're, you know, and I thought it was a great idea, but he was, and it's created a division between us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can certainly appreciate that, Doreen. And this is one of those issues that you need to approach with just a lot of discernment and prayer. You know, what I would say is that, you know, anytime we're thinking about lending money, we need to first stop and just evaluate the situation, recognizing that, you know, we're putting ourselves in a change of relationship. You know, the Bible describes the borrower and the lender as a master-slave relationship. And that's just challenging when it comes into a friend or a family environment because, you know, we're changing the nature of that relationship, which just creates the potential that it could create relational strain. Secondly, is always this decision to, first, do I give or do I lend? And then second, if I'm lending, do I do it interest-free or do I add interest? It would not be an appropriate use of or interpretation of Scripture to say that a Christian is never able to charge interest to another Christian. We certainly did see examples of that in God's word among the Israelites, but we're no longer under the law of Moses. And in the Bible, usury, which he's referencing, refers to the practice of charging excessively high or unfair interest on loans, particularly in ways that exploit those in financial need. And so in biblical times, usury was seen as unethical because it often took advantage of people who were poor and vulnerable. And this wouldn't be your son's situation in the sense that, yes, he's experiencing a financial hardship, but you're not in any way charging him an excessively high or unfair interest rate. In fact, you're actually helping him get below the prevailing rates. So you're doing it in a way that's beneficial to him to try to be helpful, but still collecting an appropriate amount to offset what you're giving up. It's the opportunity cost that you would have if you had it invested elsewhere, which you're perfectly entitled to do. Now, he doesn't have to like it. He doesn't have to take the money, but it doesn't mean that you're falling into what the Bible talks about with usury because these are not the same things. He's using that inaccurately. Now, you may decide for the sake of the relationship either to A, just make it a gift if you're financially able to do that. You may decide not to give it at all because you feel like the best lesson he can learn is kind of walking through this challenging season and growing from it and learning some financial maturity. That may be an appropriate response that you pray through and come to, and I wouldn't fault you for that. You may decide to get creative and lend him the money and charge the interest, and as you collect it, stick it in a savings account and bless him with a gift once he pays it back. I mean, there's a variety of ways you can go about this, neither or right or wrong, so long as you're not taking advantage of him, and you're not, just based on what I'm hearing. And so ultimately, it's a matter of discernment and conviction that you and your husband need to pray through. And you may decide to be lavish in your generosity just to create an environment where, you know, you can speak into his life and hopefully encourage him spiritually and keep a strong relationship. You also may decide this is one of those tough love opportunities where he needs to kind of walk through a difficult season and allow the Lord to teach him and grow him up. And, you know, I think that would be a role that, you know, we as parents need to play from time to time. But I've thrown a lot at you there, Doreen. Give me your thoughts.
Well, he went to his wife's parents, and they lent him the money.
Okay.
And so my then he's saying that because of this, he wants me to say I was wrong. He wants me to say that not only did I hurt him, which I have told him I'm very sorry I hurt him, but he wants me to say, and we don't have the money. I mean, the money that we would have given him is our 6 months of savings. So
yeah.
You know, and then he said, well, I'm never going to come to you again then when I'm in trouble. And to me, Rob, would it be fair to say, hey, we want you to come to us, but if you have to come to us again, we're going to have to look at how you're spending your money and try to speak some reality into the, you know, the way you're spending your money, because something is not right. And
yeah,
they went on a very lavish honeymoon, which I just now found out that they charged on a credit card. And so
yes.
I don't I wanted to be learning, but I want the hurt to go away.
Yes. No, I certainly understand that. And these are tough situations, you know, and there's relationships involved, and these are your kids who you love, and you want to be in a great relationship. And yet at the end of the day, you are the steward, Doreen, of what God has entrusted to you, and you need to be wise and discerning in terms of how God would have you to use that money. And just because you're his parent doesn't mean every time he asks, the answer is yes, because there's a variety of factors here. Number one, what is his spiritual trajectory? Number two, what is his financial trajectory? What kind of maturity or lack thereof is he exercising? You know, the worst thing you could do in certain situations is throw more money after poor decision making, because it's not going to cause him to make any changes, and it's just going to perpetuate a cycle of poor decision making that's going to result in more asks down the road. It requires that you discern whether or not you're even in a financial position to do it. So I think the thing for you to do is to continue to be very clear and steadfast. We love you. We're here for you. We have helped you in the past. We have limited resources. We tried to be helpful here by offering a loan that was at below market rates so we could earn something on this money. And by the way, we were pulling it out of our emergency reserves, which I typically wouldn't even recommend you do that. But you know, if you wanted to and you felt strongly about it, great. But that's not usury. That's not violating anything in God's word. And it doesn't change, you know, how you feel about him. It's just that he doesn't like the answer. And so he's using his words and his actions to retaliate against a decision you made that I think you're, you know, perfectly able to do and in good standing with regard to God's word.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. That's what I hoped. I wanted to hear the truth. You know, if I need to say I was wrong, I want to, he kind of sometimes says, you know, I don't admit I'm wrong, but I really try to do what I think God is saying from his word. So like you said, just because someone doesn't like the answer doesn't mean you're sinning. So.
That's right. That's exactly right. And let's just make this a matter of prayer and ask the Lord to open his eyes. Now, we all have things we need to be aware of. And so we need to be open to the Lord showing us, you know, where we've made decisions that need to change and things we can do to improve relationships. But with regard to this specific situation here, Doreen, you know, I'm not hearing anything or decisions you've made that would violate God's word or in any way be inappropriate with regard to what's being asked of you by your son. And so we'll just, I think, ask the Lord to give him some wisdom. Hopefully over time, we'll pray for restoration and reconciliation here. And hopefully he'll learn something from it. The Lord will grow him up. And, you know, we'll see better days ahead. But we appreciate your call today.
Thank you so much.
All right. Lord bless you. I know these are not easy. Well, folks, that's what we do here on this program, is just try to encourage you. Thank you for inviting us into your story each day. And our hope and prayer is that through God's word and the counsel of Scripture, and as we apply these biblical principles we see in God's word, that we can journey in this role of financial steward in a way that's wise and faithful and God-honoring. And ultimately, what we know is that draws us into a more intimate relationship with him. Maggie and Tina, I apologize we didn't get to your calls today. We'd love to get you on perhaps tomorrow's broadcast. If you want to stay right there, our team will see if we can get you rescheduled. So with that, let me say thanks to that team. Thankful for Sandy and Taylor and Devin and everybody here at FaithFi. Certainly couldn't do this without them and without each of you listening and calling. So thanks for being a part of the broadcast today. Hey, don't miss our brand new resource. It's a 21-day devotion called Look at the Sparrows that will help you move from fear to faith in your financial life. If there's something that's been weighing on you, perhaps refocusing on God's word, renewing your mind with Scripture is just what you're looking for. Go to faithfi.com/sparrows to learn more, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.